Good evening. Good to see everyone here tonight. Good that we could come and worship our God. I'm glad that you're here, and I'm glad to be here with you. We're going to continue our study that we started this morning, looking at the story of Revelation. The story of Revelation. C.S. Lewis began, at least in adolescence, as an atheist. He denied the existence of God. He was an expert in literature and myths and legends and stories. And as he studied all this, he said that Christianity was simply another story. Until he was challenged with the thought that there may be a true story that gives rise to all these other myths that happen all throughout the world. And so we see that he came to believe that Christianity is that true story that gives rise to all other things. And he became a proponent of the Christian faith. The story of Revelation really is a story of those true things, of that it reflects a reality of a battle that is actually taking place. So we're going to continue our study from that tonight. This morning we looked at the fact that the Son of Man in that first vision was amongst the lampstands or the churches. We see that there was a spiritual battle in the churches as there were some that were preaching and proclaiming false doctrines, and some of them allowed that to happen. And he tells them to teach the truth. He tells them to live godly lives and persevere under persecution and to continue in those things. Then we move to the spiritual battle that's taking place in the world. And it starts in the throne scene in heaven. There God is in the midst, sitting in on his throne. And there are throngs of people around him, praising him, shouting praises, speaking his name. And we see that he's given great praise in heaven. We see that there is one that is the Lamb, and he will open up a book there, a book that has many seals. And so as we begin to see in the book of Revelation, as these seals are opened, that there is a message that is announced. And it reminded me, as I've been reading through these again, how similar it is to the prophets. As he would announce a message of judgment. That was the message, those seals that were broken. There were a message of judgment that was brought forth. And so that's where we left off, with the final seal being opened. And now there are a series of trumpets. So we're going to transition from a message that's revealed through those seals being broken to a warning. The trumpets are a warning sound that are brought forth. And they are going to warn for judgment that is to come. So I'll be starting in chapter 8 and verse 6. And I'll be summarizing through chapter 16 tonight. So like a tornado siren, if we were to hear that go off, that would be a similar connotation to what people during this time viewed the trumpet as doing. It was a way to announce, spread a warning, a way to give a signal to people to be prepared for what is about to happen. After the seals had been opened, we see that there were seven angels that were given seven trumpets. They would make these announcements of judgment. The first angel blew his trumpet, and hail and fire mixed with blood came upon the earth, so that a third of the earth was burned up, burned to a crisp. And so we see that the earth receives this kind of judgment, and not a complete judgment, but a third of the earth. The second trumpet was blown, so that we see that the mountain was put on fire and thrown into the sea. And a third of the sea was turned into blood, and a third of the sea creatures died. We go from the earth to the sea, and judgment comes upon it in a partial way. The third trumpet is blown, and here we see that a star falls from the heaven. And a third of the waters become wormwood. And many people die from this. It attacks the earth and the sea and also the streams and living waters. And judgment comes upon the land. The fourth trumpet is sounded by the fourth angel. The sun, moon, and stars, a third of them are blackened so that they do not shine their light. The earth is feeling the effects of judgment. The earth, the sea, the rivers, the streams, the sun, moon, and stars. An eagle comes out crying, "Woe, woe, woe to those who dwell upon the earth." Judgment is coming. There's going to be a lot of destruction. There's going to be a lot of turmoil, pain, and suffering. And woe to those that must experience this. The fifth trumpet is blown. A star fell from heaven to earth. It was, if you remember, the stars that were in the right hand of the one like the Son of Man were angels. Here we see a star that falls to earth, an angel that is removed from heaven. He's given the key of the bottomless pit. There's this bottomless pit, if you can even imagine it. And the doors swing open as this one is given a key, and we see that there is great smoke that comes out of it. And that bottomless pit is one that burns forever and ever. Out of that bottomless pit comes a bunch of locusts. Locusts certainly would have been a sign of destruction, as locusts in ancient times would have swept over a land, leaving nothing in its trace, destroying everything that was there. And so these locusts come upon the earth. And the locusts harmed those that had the mark of the beast, meaning they harmed those that were serving the beast or the one that was contrary to God. And they were allowed to torment for a short period of time, 5 months. And people would suffer greatly. In fact, they would wish that they would die, but they would not, as they suffered here. This is also the first woe that is given, as these locusts have the appearance of an army of cavalry that is coming, like a big army of horses. And the text says that they have crowns of gold, they have human faces. Text says that they have teeth like lions, and their king is Apollyon, or destruction. And they bring woe upon the earth. Such is the judgment of God. The sixth trumpet is blown. Here we see that there is a voice from four horns of the golden altar, and there's four bound angels, and these angels are released. And they go about to kill a third of mankind. There's mounted troops all over the place, so that it says that there's 10,000 times 10,000. And these are horses with lion's heads, breathing smoke and fire. They had tails like serpents, so that the rest of mankind were to face this kind of punishment. The text says, though, that they did not repent. Those that opposed that great king, the one that sits upon the throne, judgment came because of their wickedness, but they did not repent. And they continued to blaspheme, they continued to worship demons, and they continued to reject the one upon the throne. Now we're going to see, really this is going to start chapter 10 and 11. An interlude where it shows the importance of prophecy, the importance of prophets and those who would speak the word of God. It says that an angel came down wrapped in a cloud. His face shone like the sun. And he had his right foot in the sea and his left foot on the land. And there were these peals of thunder. And as he was about to write down what these peals of thunder, we see that they would be silenced and not be written down. There were some things that were not meant to be revealed. And so he put those things up and did not write them down. But there's another angel that has a book. And it says that the voice came to John as he heard from heaven, telling him to take the scroll, or that book, and that message. And he is to eat the book, and it would taste sweet in his mouth. It would seem good, but then it would become bitter. And what he was to do was to prophesy, to speak forth that word. He would not be alone, as prophecy and prophets would speak out to the world. There would also be these two witnesses, and they would go about prophesying to other people, and they would be opposed. In fact, as they prophesied, it would not be readily accepted. They would bring a hard message that people did not want to hear, so that they might attempt to kill them or destroy them. And if they did, those two witnesses would be protected. They would not be allowed to destroy others. It says that anyone that tried to kill them would be killed themselves. And the beast from the bottomless pit will make war with them. And after the prophecy, they would be called up to heaven. There would be a great earthquake, and 7,000 would be killed, and the rest would be terrified as this prophecy is spoken forth. That provides the interlude and the second woe in the right before the seventh trumpet. The seventh trumpet sounded. You see this in chapter 11 and verse 15. There were loud voices, and they were shouting that the kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord. The reign there is recognized to be of God, and the 24 elders worshiped God. And they said that we give thanks to God. And God's temple was opened. And that was the seventh trumpet, announcing judgment. But as judgment was announced, we also see that that would simultaneously bring relief for the people of God. Now, what we've seen so far is that there is a spiritual battle at hand. In fact, as we saw some of those seals open, if you remember the fifth seal, we see that there were many that were martyrs that had been killed for the sake of the kingdom. And so we are made aware of the fact that there is a spiritual battle. We are made aware of the fact that there are those that are bringing great persecution upon God's people. But all we've seen so far really is God in His majesty, and we've hinted at some other characters. Chapter 12 shows us who the true enemy is. The true enemy. The true enemy is the dragon and the beast, as they will in their full force oppose God. Oppose the one on the throne. They are the reason that all these judgments are coming about. That these seals, these messages were revealed. That these trumpets needed to be sounded, announcing and warning of these things that were to come about. So John sees, first of all, a woman. She was clothed with the sun. And the moon was under her feet, and her head a crown of 12 stars, and she was pregnant and about ready to give birth. And as she was about ready to give birth, there was a great red dragon with 7 heads, 10 horns, and 7 diadems, crown of a king. And so this one had made himself a king, a horrible looking beast and monster. He was a dragon. It says that his tail swept down a third of the stars from heaven and cast them to the earth, bringing many angels with him. As this woman was about to give birth, the dragon was waiting there in order to devour whoever this woman would give birth to. And she gave birth, it says, to a man child, one who would rule over all the nations with a rod of iron. But her child was not destroyed by the dragon, but was kept safe, caught up to God and to His throne. And also the woman fled into the wilderness. Now notice, after this takes place, after the dragon's efforts are thwarted, he cannot do what he wants with that man-child. We see that there is a war in heaven between Michael, his angels, and the dragon. And they fight back and forth, so that the dragon is defeated, and the dragon is cast down from heaven. The text says that there was much rejoicing in heaven because God was sovereign and shown to be sovereign, and those that would reject that were cast out. But that also meant that there would be great suffering on earth as Satan, this dragon, would come down to earth and would seek to destroy and bring havoc to those that were there. The dragon continued to pursue the woman, but she was given wings and able to fly away. So the dragon determined that he would pursue the children of those that served God and would bring havoc upon them. There's not only the dragon, which seems to represent Satan here. I'm not giving too many clues about what means what, but this great dragon that has this evil bent against God, but there's also these beasts that have this great amount of power. First of all, there's a beast that rises from the sea. It has 10 horns, 7 heads, and 10 diadems. And he looks like a leopard. He has bear's feet and a lion's mouth. And it was given to him by the dragon. He had a mortal wound on his head, but it was one that had healed. And the whole earth followed and worshipped this beast, this great power. And as they worshipped the beast spoke blasphemy and made war on the children of God. There was also another beast, another great power, another servant underneath Satan that rose from the earth. This one had 2 horns like a lamb and spoke like a dragon. And this one made all the earth worship the first beast, performing great signs and deceiving people. And this one also required the mark of the beast if they were to buy or sell or to carry on business. They had to give their allegiance to the beast if they were to fit in society and prosper. And if they didn't, they certainly would not be allowed to prosper. And the number of the beast, it says, is 666, one short of perfection. On Mount Zion, though, there is the Lamb, accompanied by 144,000, those that had the mark of the Lamb. There is an angel that announces that they should fear God, announces this to all the earth. Fear God, because judgment is near. Judgment is coming. Another angel goes forth, and this angel says, "Fallen is Babylon." And then a third angel comes forth and says that those with the mark of the beast will drink God's wrath, and the smoke of their torment will go up forever. They will have no rest. They will have no rest. And so the people are called to endure. They are asked to carry on. And there is a statement that those that die in the Lord will be blessed. There is a spiritual battle that rages between the dragon and the one that sits on the throne. And all the people of earth are called to give their allegiance either to one of those two. There's another interesting picture as it talks about the Son of Man on a cloud. And he's given a sickle. And he's told to harvest and reap as he swings across the earth. Another angel also gathers a cluster of grapes and put these into the winepress. And blood flows out of the winepress. So you have the Son of Man that is reaping from the earth, and you also have this destruction that is upon the earth as these grapes are stomped out and flows for 200 miles, for miles and miles. And it says it goes up to the horse's bit or the horse's mouth. Blood flowing and flowing. The dragon and the beast are the ones that bring destruction and those that oppose God. And they have many servants. Not only is there the seals that have the message of judgment, there are the trumpets that sound a warning that judgment is here. And then the progression goes even a step further to the bowls of wrath that are poured out. This is really the execution of judgment. It's announced, it's warned, and it's executed. And these bowls of judgment are poured out upon the people. There are seven angels and seven bowls that are there. And as we talk about those seven angels, it provides a couple of different pictures as those seven angels prepare for these seven plagues. There's a sea of glass mingled with fire. And those who conquered the beast, they sang a new song. There's a lot of singing throughout Revelation, praising God for all that He has done. And they sing a new song. Great and amazing are Your deeds, O God. And seven angels came out of the sanctuary, and they were pure with bright linen and golden sashes. And they were given these bowls of wrath, and smoke filled the sanctuary. And a loud voice announced to these angels to pour out your bowls of wrath, your bowls of judgment upon the earth. So the first bowl is poured out, resulting in painful sores on those who had the mark of the beast, and judgment is brought forth. The second bowl is poured out on the sea, which turns to blood, and many of the sea creatures die. The third bowl is poured out on the rivers and springs, and they become blood. And those who shed blood are given blood in return. It is only fair and just. So that those from the altar show that God is declared to be true and just. The fourth bowl is poured out on the sun and people scorched by its fierce heat. And they curse God because of the great pain and anguish that they suffer. Again, notice how judgment comes forth. Coming upon the earth and the sea and the rivers, and the heavenly hosts. Judgment is poured out. The fifth bowl is poured out on the throne of the beast, and its kingdom is turned to darkness. People gnash their tongues and curse the God of heaven, and they do not repent. These are the ones with the mark of the beast. The sixth bowl is poured out on the river Euphrates, and the water dries up. The spirits proceed from the dragon, the beast, and the false prophet. It depicts these as spirits of frogs so that they would gather up and assemble for battle, even a greater battle that would take place between the dragon and God, and they would assemble at Armageddon. The seventh bowl is poured in the air, and then there's a statement that it is done. There's a great earthquake, and the city split in three. There are those that cursed God. Those are the seven bowls of wrath. That's the second part of the story of Revelation. I hope that you're impressed by the images, even if you don't know exactly what every image is. I think you can see the overall impact and effect of those that hate God and the great battle that was taking place here, led by Satan and those that would serve him. And this battle is between them and God. And people are asked to choose a side. So let me quickly point out a few lessons that I think that we can learn from this text. First of all, God is still sovereign. God is still sovereign in this story, in this account. He is the one that reigns over all things. He allows whatever He allows to happen. It does not happen against His will. There is no one with greater power. God is still sovereign. This morning we saw that there is a spiritual battle that wages in the churches. As those that have confessed Jesus as the Christ must live up to their confession. And that doesn't always happen. There are those that teach false doctrine. There are those that live an immoral life. And that there are those that would give up if they are persecuted. And so those in the church must determine to serve God. Tonight we see to even a greater degree that there is a spiritual battle that rages in much the same way in the world. God is sovereign, but did you know what? There are so many others that want to compete for that sovereignty. There are so many others that would like to have authority and power, and they live with greed before God. God has all power, but Satan and his servants and those many here on the earth lust for that power and decide to reject God for it. There is a spiritual battle in the world. Appreciate the song that was led as we would be called to move onward as Christian soldiers. The truth of the matter is, as we see that there is a spiritual battle that's taking place, we must pick a side. We must choose a side. We will either be marked as a child of God, or we will be marked as a child of Satan. There's no third category. Our lives will display whether we are servants of God or whether we are servants of Satan. We'll be clearly seen as those that show our allegiance to one or the other. We must pick a side. It's also true that judgment will come from God. God is sovereign, and He allows free agency and free will. He allows people to make decisions and choices, but the truth of the matter is that judgment will come from Almighty God to those that reject Him. We see these seals, these trumpets, and these bowls all speak to the judgment that comes from the one that has authority and all power. It comes from God. He revealed it, He announced it, and He can execute it. And that can happen today. And that will happen ultimately. He has the power to do all these things. So again, I'll simply close with the question. Have you chosen what side you're going to be on in this spiritual battle? Are you going to be a child of God or a child of Satan? Are you going to serve God or serve Satan? We provide now an invitation to accept the Lord's call, believing that Jesus is the Christ, committing your life to a different life. It means you repent of sin and seek to serve God, and being baptized into the blood of Jesus Christ. When we dip ourselves into the blood of Christ, we are cleansed and made white and clean. If you're not a Christian, you can obey the gospel. You can become a child of God. If you are a Christian, you know that the fight is still on. It's still a struggle, and we have to commit ourselves every day. If we fall, we simply get back up. And the church here is more than willing and happy to help you with that as we help each other. If there's any subject to the invitation, please come as we stand and sing at this time.
Careless soul, why will you linger, wandering from the fold of God? Hear you not the invitation, or prepare?